Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, do you know where you are? I sure do. You're listening to another episode of Bombing with Eric Andre, where I talk with friends, comedians, musicians, and other creative people about their worst moments on stage. We're talking about the spiciest moments. So today it felt right to sit down with the host and creator of Hot Ones, Sean Evans. Dear friend, we both took a trip down memory lane about a bombing moment we experienced together. As always, please subscribe to the podcast to get new episodes every week. Rate it 5 stars. And on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive clips plus ad-free episodes weekly. Let's get into it.
Bombing. Bombing with Eric Andre.
All right, well, so what's a bomb for you? Just a shitty interview?
Shitty interview.
Remember when...
You said that,
he clearly hates white people.
When you said that, that was immediately the thing that I thought about. You know,
I was
when
like, shit, this
it's
is
like
tense.
About
this
bombing, because you know you'd think Hot Ones would fly off the rails all the time, but it's usually a very positive shoot experience.
Right.
You know, like no matter the emotional roller coaster throughout, it usually ends in a hug. So I don't really have that many sort of this is uncomfortable kind of interviews when I look at the Hot Ones catalog.
Yeah,
but that one with you, me, and Vince.
Yeah.
If I look back on the hundreds of interviews that I've done in my life, that's the one that's crystallized as maybe the most.
Yeah, he clearly doesn't like to do press. I was kind of like, I wanted to turn to him and be like, you don't have to do this. Like, this is to promote your stuff. Like, none of us have to be here. You don't have to be here.
Right.
Like, if you don't want to promote your stuff, just go home or go away or like go somewhere else.
In his defense, though, I remember the whole conceit for this thing was so stupid. So I think what was happening
was confusing.
It's super confusing.
I didn't really know
what we were supposed to do or what the purpose is. So here's what I think happened. Vice used to do those interviews where it'd be like Mac DeMarco talking to ASAP Rocky or something. You know, like two musicians talking shop.
Uh-huh.
So I think Complex saw that. It was like, oh, we need to do our version of that, but we should leverage our hosts and blah, blah, blah. You know, like it's when people start making decisions that have nothing to do with making a good interview or making a good video, it's motivated by other things,
like
you know?
Copying another.
Yeah, or like just we're going to put our hosts, like leverage our Complex brand, put our like we're gonna take the magic of this thing but insert a certain like this is ours, and then who knows what that means. They can spin it off, sell it different ways or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember thinking that's so stupid, because the reason the Vice thing kind of works is it's two musicians talking shop or two comedians talking shop.
Right.
Introducing a host, it's like
defeats
putting pickles on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Right,
it makes no sense.
Right.
And it actually flies in the face of like the exact thing that makes that whole thing work.
Right.
It inserts just a distracting element to the whole thing. So I remember thinking on its face that this is dumb, that this is purposeless. And then even the sets, like all spaceshipped out and weird.
Yeah.
Like it made no sense. So I actually... I maybe even like kind of understand where he's coming from, but I almost like barely like I remember 3 minutes into that being like, oh, I can't wait to get in the car.
Yeah, I know. I was like, this is tense, and he clearly doesn't want to be here. But you know what? Before the cameras turned on, he was like sweet as pumpkin pie. When I was just talking to him, like before we started shooting, he was like, I was like, what are you listening to lately? He was like, oh, Joni Mitchell. Like, I was like, what? And then, like, as soon as the camera started, there was, like, a 180 sea change. Yeah. And it was, like, very tense and, like, but I could tell he was also, like, it was, like, shtick. Like, he was trying to be, like, edgelord kind of, like-ish in a way and, like, militant, but, like, not in a comedic way. So I was, like, trying to, like, cut the tension, and then I was like,
but
what
then
is
I
this?
Think
and then
you
in the middle
two.
Of this, I was like, what is this?
And then I think in the you two kind of ended up, I felt like kind of trading some things too. And so then I kind of felt like I was in the middle of something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was like, shit, am I in, like, I felt like I was in the principal's office. So I was like, what are we in trouble for? What am I in trouble for?
That's like, a good way of putting it. Yeah.
I was like, I'm here to promote like a dumb 11 minute talk show idea.
But what you said is something that I always think about. Like, if somebody,
I don't think I ever watched it.
Neither did I. I didn't sit with the edit or whatever.
I was like, oh, that sucked. And I was doing like a few things press-wise that my publicist, this is like in the beginning, you just say yes to everything
in your career.
And there was a few things I did that I regretted. So I was just, it was in that era in the early stages of the show where I was like, I did something, it was like Nylon or Neon or one of these like fashion kind of magazines. And they like, there was like a fashionista kind of Bruno character there, like dressing me up in some like thing, and I was like, oh, I don't model or wear this shit. And they were like, oh, just do it. And I looked at my publicist, I was like, can I do it like ironically? But then you don't get to pick the pictures.
Yeah, right.
You don't select the pictures. So you better enjoy what you are wearing and what you're doing because you don't get to pick. There's no edit. Mm-hmm. You're not in the edit. So it was around that era that I did that. And I was like, I gotta like be careful about saying yes to everything, because that was a fucking bummer. What was your takeaway from it? And have we given enough context? Does the audience know what the fuck we're talking about right now?
Yeah, I think we kind of set it up. It was just it was trying to be actors on actors, but they inserted a host for no reason, and then it went sideways, which of course it was going to do.
Yeah.
You know? But what you said, I think about that sometimes when someone comes in, because you never know what they're going to come in with. You know, like they can be, you know, like, oh, I'm in a new phase of my like artistic journey, and I'm gonna come in like, you know, like, and sometimes I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to do a commercial for you.
Totally. Like,
yeah.
Well, it felt disingenuous because I saw how he behaved before the cameras turned on, and then he like put on an act, and I was like, no, you're way more interesting being yourself.
Yeah, right.
You're way more intriguing and likable and relatable being yourself. Like when I was talking to him off camera, I was leaning in. I was like fascinated. And then he was so, he was like a bummer.
You know,
it was like Rebel Without a Cause, though. It wasn't like, it wasn't activism. It was
nihilism.
It was nihilism. Nihilism. What was your takeaway?
I didn't want
to watch it again.
Yeah.
It's probably not that bad when you watch it.
It's probably fine.
It was just a feeling in the room.
Yeah, yeah. It was probably more, like less tangible than. But I mean, philosophically, the way I look at interviews is the same way as movies. Like, they should either be good or really bad. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, the middle of the road doesn't do anything for me. So, like, sometimes those things are uncomfortable, but when I walk away from them, I'm always like, well, that's, you know, it's compelling, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then I try not to take myself too seriously or like whatever when I walk away from those things. So that's just like kind of fine.
So
but
is that the worst? Did I experience your biggest bomb?
I'm telling you, I think that's like if I look back, while it was happening, the feeling that I had, where I was almost, I barely remember because I was just kind of like disassociated the whole time.
Yeah, me too. But you looked fine. I was like, ugh, this stinks. But
and thinking about getting in the car.
Fine. You seem just like, great. Anyway, and I was like, maybe this is like every other day for you, getting like curmudgeon.
Well, sometimes because
musicians in.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah, because like celebrities are lunatics, like the majority of them. They're like severely mentally ill.
And just doing an interview is so bizarre because then you meet people for the first time and then you have to create this trust, this rhythm, this energy, this chemistry in this ridiculous context.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's
right.
What makes the so. But you always walk away with those things learning something. Like even walking away from that, you know, the same way that you were talking about putting yourself in a bad situation with the nylon thing. Like same with me. It's like, oh, well, that was a bad situation. I could see it coming from a mile away.
Right.
I did it anyway and it went as badly as I thought it was going to go. Right. So then that makes you think, all right, in the future I can see if trust your instincts
just
on something
no.
like that.
Just say no. And no is such an important
if
word.
You can't,
I'm such a people pleaser. I'm so
exactly.
Idiot.
If you can't see the concept clearly, then don't do it. You know what
right.
I mean? Like if it's messy at all, and so then you start to think about, all right, well, I need to control these things a little bit more. So you can walk away from those things with certain lessons. But overall, I just think, you know, try your best to research somebody, put together an interview that you hope works. And I always stay true to that process.
Yeah.
So then if it doesn't go according to plan, then that's okay. I did my best, you know, and go on to the next one.
Right.
There's always a next one. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. There's always something new. And I guess failure is the greatest teacher. But just say no. Trust your instincts and just say no. And like, that's not just for career stuff. It's like throughout life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm such a people pleaser and I just go, yeah, yeah, sure.
And then,
hey, you want to do this? Like, yeah, yeah, sure. And I don't know why the fuck I did. I learned it from my parents. But like, even if you want to say, yeah, yeah, sure, I have to like practice like just like not saying anything at first.
Right.
And then saying something, a vague in between so I can sleep on it and really check in with my gut and see how I feel.
What do you see as the value of a promo cycle? You know, like the value of even doing press, of even sitting down and like doing interviews with people, especially back then.
If a TV show falls in the forest and nobody hears it, then
shows,
gonna,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you're like, what's even like, oh, I get on this and somebody's going to see me and actually go to the show. Do you think that
yeah,
happens?
Yeah. I mean, without marketing. Look at Barbie. Look at the Barbie movie.
Right.
It's a fucking genius. But they did two things that was brilliant with the marketing. A, Barbie is this like tried and true intellectual property that's been around for 100 years. That's controversial. So controversy brings media attention and internet attention to it. And it's already like this established brand. And they combine forces for some reason, for a very smart reason, with the Oppenheimer marketing. Like,
right.
There was like all these like conjoined memes and they both, you know, they're both like, you know, making $2 billion at the box office. So I think marketing is crucial. We're inundated with so much media.
Yeah, but it's such a fractured media landscape. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, there was like a handful of shows, you know, that people are tuning into.
TV
right.
channels, yeah.
Exactly. And now there's like a million that
yeah even
a thousand
more so,
people
so you gotta market
yeah.
even harder than ever
I guess yeah
fucking you're just
it's a volume game.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Eric Andre.
What about like up and coming when you were like a young journalist?
Yeah, well, I liked my gigs before I ever had something like this. I was, you know, I worked for the Park District when I was in high school, just slinging Gatorades and like hot dogs at slow pitch, like rec softball leagues, you know? That was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And then my other job after that in college, I'd do architecture tours of the Chicago River in Lake Michigan as like a docent with like the Chicago architect, or as a tour guide with the Architecture Foundation and this boat company called the First Lady, and that was sick. Like, I love doing that too.
Did you ever get fired from anything?
No, I don't think I've ever been fired or
just life's
laid
been
off.
An easy breeze.
A frictionless experience all the way through. But I do remember when we first started doing Hot Ones, it would be kind of an embarrassing show to do before anybody had ever heard of it. You know, our set is so bare bones, just the black curtains hanging.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it would have, you know, like the wings and just me sitting there, you know.
I like that. It's like Charlie Rose with chicken wings.
That's fine. But as you start to like kind of grow and break through, eventually you find yourself, you know, like renting a suite at like the Beverly Hills Hotel, hanging those black things from like, you know, the room, and then having like Charlize Theron come up from a press junket to like us with like the bed, you know, like smashed up against the wall and all the sheets hanging down, and then her being like giving that same look to the publicist, you know, like that ended up being fine, but you have to like win people over. And that was like always a struggle. Nobody had heard of us or like knew anything when they're getting themselves into it. And then you have this ridiculous, on its face, ridiculous concept. You know what I mean? So I always felt, I remember for years doing the show, I'd have a feeling of embarrassment before we started.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's great. I mean, you do get thrown a lot of fucking wackadoo bullshit when you're doing press sometimes, and you do have to like constantly check in with your publicist and be like, what am I doing? Like especially like, there are like people that pitch you like wackadoo games. Like you're like, you're gonna play the selfie Olympics, and you're like, shut the fuck up! I don't want to do that. Just go see the movie I did and whatever. But so I understand their apprehension. You got to kind of check in with each, especially when we're being tossed around those hotel rooms. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, what is this? But game show.
Yeah.
What was the highs and lows of the game show? Was that stressful? Is it still going?
No. Here's how I'd look back on that. The positives on it were, you know, it was fun to do it like in a big studio, you know.
Is that nerve-wracking?
No, I kind of liked it, you know, because when you do...
You like the stress of it.
I kind of like the performance of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like, you know, you're so in the studio doing the interview show. There's not many people on set. You know, it's very closed and quiet. Mm-hmm. And that felt like a chance to, you know, it's like kind of doing something in the studio and then you get to do a concert. That's kind of how I thought of it. And it was fun. And Atlanta was a fun city to do it. They're not normal seat filler people,
right,
you know.
Right.
They're like fun and having a great time.
Yeah,
and so that always felt awesome. And then you'd be like around fans and signing hot sauce bottles and stuff. So it felt real tangible.
How did the game show work? What was the premise of it? Like people had to eat hotter and hotter, like contestants, not celebrities.
Yeah, contestants, right. So it would just be like these rounds of either like a game or trivia, but before each round, they're eating this scorching hot chicken wing. But I do remember not having the greatest experience going, having a TV adaptation of it or taking notes from like a network about what this should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think sometimes they're just like, oh, it's like celebrities and hot sauce. And that's what like makes it such a hit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very celebrity driven kind of trivia and stuff. But I'm like, I know my audience. They're not this kind of dumb, you know.
Right.
So I felt like the trivia was dumb. I felt like the games were dumb. Like I kind of wanted it to be a little more cash cab kind of thing, you know, like something that I know people can play along to. But then they'll like mark, you know, they'll focus group test something, and then with whatever the demographic is for the advertisers they have, and that ends up like dictating the show.
They run creativity like a fucking accountant.
Saw that, and then the output from that, I'm like, I know why people like Hot Ones, and no Hot Ones fan is going to see this and be like, oh, yeah, this is an amazing game show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I knew that. And while you're doing something, it's exciting. And especially at that time, it was super exciting. But then when I was on the plane home, you know, it's such a whirlwind because you shoot like 25 episodes in 10 days or whatever. And then when I was on the plane ride home, I remember being like, what's that going to look like? Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, working with the contestants is great. The other thing was the wings were way too hot, you know, because that's
like spicy hot or temperature
way,
hot?
Just way too spicy hot, like just way too impossible to deal with.
Oh, you were like killing the contestants.
Killing them. Because the other side of it is, there were people, I think there was puking. There was puking.
Like a plumber from Massachusetts or whatever doing it.
There was puking in every single episode. You know, I was like, this needs, and then the way that it would be explained to me, I'd be like, you know what, how ones would kind of work them up to a crazy place.
Oh, you were
place.
Starting out at yeah, like because, DEFCON 5.
Yeah, because the notes would be like, no one's going to watch to the first commercial break if they're just kind of eating, you know, like that. The first one was like worse than Da Bomb, and then it goes from God. There.
So they're just getting rocked. So you're like, hey, what movie and is I, fucking Kevin Hart yeah. with Dwayne The Rock Johnson? And they're like,
exactly. It was way too hot. And I remember, Ian, because I don't really like puking. I don't like when people puke around me and like
were
the smell of
camera?
It. Oh yeah, every
oh,
all.
Oh my god!
There's like puke buckets behind everything. I was like, that's I get nightmare. Wanting reactions, yeah, but yeah. You don't want people puking. You don't want deep guttural
it's
cramps.
Too far. Yeah, it's like dark. Like the footage is like dark.
Yeah, and because like, you know, like on the show when people are like and screaming, that's fun. Yeah. When people are in a K-hole guttural shutdown thing, it's just uncomfortable, and then they can't. So I remember even early on in that being like, these are too hot. They're like, well, no one's making it to the first commercial. Break. We gotta smoke them out. So I remember, like, I'm happy I did it. It was a good experience, and the people in Atlanta and people at Turner and everybody was like super awesome to work with. But looking back on it, like, I understand completely why it failed. You know, like it had no chance. Murdering. It was nuts. Yeah, it was
so
insane.
By like act two and three, they're just like, need yeah. medical attention.
Yeah.
Was there a medic on set? There
yeah,
had to be medics on set,
yeah,
right?
We had medics on set and we put them to use. I remember there was like somebody who had to get some sort of attention for it, but it was.
I'm surprised
and,
you got insurance to cover that show.
And I remember there was, they'd always want to like. Update all the time, so they'd always have me checking in, you know, it's like, how are you doing after the constrictor wing, you know, and doing, and I'd be like,
people.
And they'd just be in my ear being like, check in with Derek, check in with Derek, ask him how he is after the constrictor, you know, just
you
stuff
just
like that.
That
it was just, I know, I should have, but I think that's what ends up happening, though, or what I think is interesting is you walk into something and you see the level of success of, like, all those people, and you're like, well, I've only done one. This is the first show I've ever done.
Now I look at those people, I'm like, who the fuck are any of these people?
Exactly.
Exactly.
At the time,
they've never written
like,
a script. They've never fucking hosted.
You're
they've
so
never done anything
right.
on camera.
You're so fucking right.
Who are they?
But that was the learning experience for me. So I was like, oh, well,
they get fired all the time, too. They get fired
and
constantly.
And there's a revolving door. They've all
there's
worked
a revolving
at like 50
door. You don't have to
kiss
any of their asses. They're going to be fired in like a week.
Exactly. And then, so I felt like, oh, well, I've only done one show that's worked ever. You know, this is my first show. Like, what do I know?
Of course. I would be going through the same thing.
But then, now walking out of it, that was another learning experience. I'd be like, no, I shouldn't let anyone talk. I know a Hot Ones fan better than anyone knows a Hot Ones fan. No one should tell me exactly what they want.
Yeah,
so that was a learning experience.
Yeah,
so.
You got to push back. You just got to be like, hey, I know the fan base, and this is – you just got to tell them why they're wrong over and over again. And then also, like, half of what their notes are is just, like, performative bullshit to justify their job. So
yeah,
they're very,
yeah.
like, self-centered and self-serving.
That's what I thought, too, even, like, the decision being so risk-averse and, you know, like –
they just don't want to get fired from whoever their boss is, and their boss is some other schmuck, and it's just like a fucking ladder of schmucks to the top of
Schmuck
Mountain.
But you learn. You learn.
Yeah, you live and learn. Fuck, that's so crazy. Fucking rocking people to like DEFCON 5 level spice.
This is
like
insane.
Off the jump.
It's,
yeah, you just kept them like a medium spice at first so that you could tell they're sweating, they're hot, but they're answering the question. And then you go up, then you build towards act three. I get you don't want to start out with like Taco Bell mild, but you gotta, you know.
The craziest shit.
Find the balance. That's
the craziest, insane. This is just now coming back to me, but before the game show started, there'd be a time where we'd go to the production house that was doing it and they'd have a room like this, and they'd clear everything out and you'd just be drilling all the games. So then when you actually start shooting shows, like the games are second nature to you, mm-hmm. right? But then what they would do is they'd hire, I think like just day rate actors. You know, people that would otherwise just be extras in a toothpaste commercial or something mm-hmm. to come in and they'd be drilling the games, but actually eating the wings for real.
Fuck.
And I remember thinking at the time, like, why do they even need to eat the wings? Like, this is mostly just about drilling it for me. And
yeah.
They'd be dying.
Wait,
know,
this
dying.
Was, what was this? This was like a rehearsal?
Yeah, like in rehearsal kind of a situation.
And this wasn't for on camera? This or it wasn't.
No,
like,
they were just they're
filmed.
Just
this wasn't for the show.
They were just drilling the things, but I guess they probably had to lock in the spice. To, you know, they probably had to lock in how hot these things. This
so,
is like
so. There's like background actors,
dude,
just like getting rocked.
Not in like a lab rat kind of setting, dude.
It should be like a documentary.
And no, it was amazing. I remember at one point being like, "We need to get them milkshakes," you know, because they'd be like, "Sean, hey, on that last read, you called it the $200 question. It's not the $200 question. It's a question for $200. So let's reset new wings, like blah blah blah." And like these people just, I'd be like,
"Boogers
and,
coming out of their
and
race."
Then, and by like, I'd be like, "We can't. No. We gotta get them." Some milkshakes or something. This isn't, and they'd be like, "Oh yeah," you could tell they wouldn't even like weren't even thinking about
oh
that.
Oh my god!
All right, get some milkshakes.
Fucking nuts.
So, anyways, but so that was a short-lived but pretty wild experience.
Yeah, that's
doing
wild.
That.
That's wild. Shit. Could you update? I guess you don't need to, but could you do a half-hour version for television of Hot Ones?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess it'd be almost the same.
It's yeah, it's
like,
almost the same.
It's almost like Ain't Broke, Don't Fix It.
That's, I mean, that's
think
exactly.
Television will fuck it all up.
That's how I think exactly.
Yeah, I think
and
you already,
even
you got a good thing going.
Exactly.
Like, change the formula.
That's what I say. It's just like, if this is where people get it and this is how they like it and they know how it's delivered,
why
mess around with
it?
Any
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, why
you
fuck
know?
With it?
So I've never really like.
Because you can monetize, you're monetizing YouTube, right? Like you're monetizing.
Yeah, I mean.
On YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know,
you
YouTube's
okay?
not that.
How much you got liquid right now? Let's go to your fucking got, Chase bank.
$200-$300.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Eric Andre.
What's the worst bomb you've ever seen live?
Nothing that's super crystallized.
Or any
my...
like any other thing you've seen in person?
Like I've been to some Kill Tony shows or whatever, you know, but that's just like...
Oh, I haven't gone to those. I want to go to those. What's
yeah,
going
yeah,
on
yeah.
with this?
So that's the show... Tony.
How does it work?
Redband.
What's the premise of the show?
Here's how it works.
People asked me to do it, and I just
You should do it. It's fun. It's fun. It's a fun show. So basically, what it is just pulling out of the hat like total amateurs to do a minute on stage, you know. And then they it's
to
kind of
do
like
a minute of regular written material, or you have to improvise your material.
No, you could do it's people who want to be comedians or whatever putting, but it's not somebody that's actually working, like not somebody who's like working
up and coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Like not amateur in a bad way, but like a open
it's
mic.
It's like an American Idol audition for comedians, basically. Uh-huh, and then it's just rapid fire.
Why is it called Kill Tony?
I don't know why it's called Kill Tony. Tony Hinchcliffe does it, so maybe there's some.
But do they have to like go toe to toe with Tony at the end of it? Is it the...
I don't know. I don't know. Actually, I just accepted it at face value and walked in and sit down. But I've gone to a couple of them, and that'll be like a rapid fire bomb. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it'll just be. Like it's just
so
one
it's like
bombing.
Total first timers like getting up there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and like
it's
just eating it.
It would be like just kids from high school trying to fill a minute or something. You know what I mean?
It's the longest minute of their life.
yeah.
So you've seen some panic attacks there.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that shit. I'm such an anxious person. I like relish in people's like nerves and anxiety because I, it makes like nothing's more likable if I see you like.
Well, you've monetized
sweating.
That.
yeah. If I could like bring you down to my level of misery, like nothing makes me click my heels more. Like constant fucking medical misery of anxiety disorder. What's the most wasted you've been at work?
So Dave Grohl came in to
put
do an episode.
Put a bottle of whiskey in my mouth and said, "Buckle up, buttercup."
Literally. So he came in, he brought a bottle of Crown Royal, and he's like, I'm gonna go wing for wing with you, and you're gonna go shot for shot with me.
Oh, he touched you.
He
and
touched
did you
me.
Go shot for shot? Crown Royal is disgusting.
We cleaned out an entire bottle of Crown Royal, and so you know a hot one shoot is like an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
No, I rallied through, and it was like a 10 a.m. shoot. I remember, you know, I walked.
Did you have other things to do that day?
Nah, had the schedule clear, but I remember kind of stumbling out. I don't even smoke cigarettes, but I was just smoking cigs with Dave outside, and it was
that sounds awesome.
It was actually awesome.
That sounds like the best day of your life.
It was awesome. Yeah,
you were hammered,
so drunk.
This one's
so
on live.
Drunk.
I can watch this.
Yeah,
one?
Yeah, you can watch it. You can watch it.
That sounds fucking amazing.
It was amazing.
David Grohl drinks like that.
He could put it down. Yeah, yeah. He
I
was
thought he
down
was
that day.
Sober for some reason.
Not that day.
My friend worked in radio. He said David Grohl was the nicest.
He is the nicest.
Best interview
he's
ever done in his career. He said he interviewed everybody.
I agree with that.
And he said out of everyone I've ever interviewed, David Grohl.
Yeah.
Hands down, champion to interview. He said he was like super open. You can ask him anything. So down to earth.
But I find that to be the case with a lot of people that have been in the game a long time, you know, that have come out the other side of that. Those are kind of my favorite people to interview.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
they've been in the game a long time because they're easy to
work
with.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
I think
that's
when you're so, you become so difficult to work with, it doesn't matter how famous you are or how successful you are. People are like, I'm out.
You're right.
A monster. Everybody is replaceable. So I think that, I think somebody was talking about that. I think Samuel Jackson was talking about that. He's like, even at my level, I can't start being a fucking total asshole. You can be a little bit of an asshole.
Yeah, yeah, just a little bit. A little sprinkle
some people,
of flavor, yeah.
Some people can be a little bit of a curmudgeon, but if you're monstrous,
that's
you
a good
know,
point.
You know, I won't name names. Well, Sean.
Hey.
They said it couldn't be done, and we did it. I should have done something. Like, in hindsight, I was not prepared. We should have done. I don't know what the equivalent of hot sauce or Crown Royale, but I should have done a Dave Grohl to you.
Well, you know what? Like we were talking before when you're like, oh, can't I just like talk about my movie or whatever? You know, sometimes there's no need to overproduce. You know
there's
what I'm
no
saying?
Need to. Yeah,
or like
true.
Put a concept to it. Like last night I was watching the football game. They had this pregame show where it was like Patrick Mahomes getting interviewed, but they're like having a catch and they were like throwing a football around and I was like and so it's like
so corny.
And they have to like yell at each other like while they're doing the interview because they're playing
it's
catch
so complicated.
And I was like, what happened to just people sitting down and talking? Did I ruin this? Is this my influence? You know what I mean? That's when I feel like maybe I'm leaving the world a worse place than where
No, because your thing has it's not rigid. Like that feels very like tossing the ball and yelling feels very like they're overthinking it.
Yeah, way over.
But yours has like a there's no rigidity to it. It feels like a casual hang because you would eat hot chicken wings with your friends.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's relatable. That's relatable. Not like, hey, what's up, man? Yeah. Just catching the ball in a student. Was it indoors?
Yeah, it was indoors.
Yeah, father and son fucking ball catching indoors. Two grown men fucking throwing a ball in. What could I have done that was like a hot wing challenge? What causes you discomfort in a challenging way, like whiskey and hot sauce?
Yeah, well, but they also kind of pair nice, you know?
They do pair nice, because doesn't alcohol cut the
little bit
heat? Because I think it was either Jamie Oliver or Alton Brown that was like, the only thing you can do is animal fat or booze, right? To cut the heat?
Yeah.
It's either got to be milk, butter, buttermilk, or ice cream, some animal fat.
To cut it,
Or alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Because water doesn't cut it.
Well, no, it just kind of moves it around
your
mouth.
It just moves around the heat. Yeah, it's got to be milk, like milkshakes, right?
Yeah, and
go-to for heat reduction?
As our guests have gotten more and more famous over the years, the milks have become more and more exotic, you know? And then now people are, like, substituting in milk that's, you know, not whole milk. You know, it's just crazy LA milks, you know?
Uh-huh.
And
without animal fat, almond milk.
Might as well be drinking water, yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute. What's your most successful hot ones?
Gordon Ramsay, by far.
Oh, like, Gordon Ramsay.
I think Billie Eilish.
Gordon Ramsay?
Like, Billie Eilish is our second biggest episode, and it has, like, half as many views as Gordon. That thing has, like, 130 million views or something like that. But I think what it was is when we first started doing the show, he was the most requested guest by far. You know, I almost felt bad for when we started putting out episodes, because it'd be like, on the show this week, Eric Andre, and all the comments be like, when's Gordon Ramsay? You know what I mean?
Really?
I felt like almost impossible to do the show until we got him in. And I think it makes sense, you know, like the food component. I think people want to see him like yell at us about the quality of the wings. Like, I think he just naturally fit that chair so well. And so then when it finally happened, it was like an internet fever dream coming together.
Because he's such a hot-blooded guy. People wanted to see him. Like,
yeah.
How did he do?
Awesome. And
he took the last few wings down.
Yeah, he's actually, and he came back and did it again. Actually, we did a holiday special with him, and I've had dinner in Hell's Kitchen before.
And that's just his shtick, him being like a hothead.
No,
chef,
he's
right? He's not really like that.
He's Dave Grohl off the camera.
Yeah. There's no way that that's got to be performance.
Yeah. He's
that's
a
gotta be performance.
He's
I've met a bunch
bear.
Of those reality people that are like as sweet as pie, and I'm like, why did they make you do this? This like Simon Cowell model of like, I guess you got to inject
conflict,
drama,
conflict.
Maybe that's what trying to do the whole time.
Yeah,
maybe he had a three-dimensional chess kind of attitude about it, and he was trying to inject some conflict in it. I really actually do believe part of that, because he was so sweet off camera talking about Joni Mitchell or whatever, and then he was like doing the shtick. I could see that if I was like 22 years old, and also felt like nervous. He felt nervous. He felt like it felt like this like anxiety to deliver something edgelordy and controversial, and I was like, all right, man, you're bumming everybody out. Even his manager was like, fuck. Sean,
thank you, man.
Buddy.
Thank you.
With Eric Andre.
Hey, before you go, I want to let you know I got a new book out that I wrote with my friend Dan Curry. It is called Dumb Ideas, a behind-the-scenes expose on making pranks and other stupid creative endeavors, and how you can also, too. It's out now, and you can get it anywhere you buy books or audiobooks. Now, here's a special clip from the audiobook just for you. I always dreamed of being arrested while doing comedy. Then I finally did during season one of The Eric Andre Show. I went to a town hall meeting dressed like a frat boy. While the mayor of this podunk California town called Rancho Cucamonga, no joke, was babbling on about God knows what, I, dressed like a frat boy, ran up to the podium and said, hey, y'all vote for me for class president, and I'll put beer in the water fountains and cameras in the girls' locker rooms. Woo! Go Bobcats! This half-baked character was inspired by any Porky's loving dipshit from my first high school. Kinda. If you read that last sentence and got the Porky reference, give yourself a pork sandwich, then poke a glory hole in your own shower. That movie didn't age well. This evening town hall meeting was attended by the mayor and 12 sheriffs. These municipal hotshots didn't share my sense of humor and promptly detained me. The sun was setting. The air was thick. I was on a high. The sheriffs escorted me outside of the parking lot and kept asking for my name. I told them my name was John Coltrane. They kept trying to look me up in their cop car laptop, and they would lament, you're not coming up in the system, Coltrane! This one cop came up to me and went, how many drugs are you on? And I was stone cold sober, so I self-cued the classic sobriety test and started nailing them, still in character. I leaned my head back and started tapping my nose and saying the alphabet backwards flawlessly. ZYXWVUT! Then I walked in a straight line over and over again. These sheriffs were beside themselves. This is the most sober idiot we've ever seen. Finally, the head boss sheriff softened. I don't want to arrest you, guy, but I just have to arrest you since you made such a scene in front of my boss. Poor guy. He just had to arrest me. I can't imagine the emotional pain and trauma he suffered while cuffing me. Bombing with Eric Andre is brought to you by Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network and iHeart Podcast. Executive produced by Han Sani, Olivia Aguilar, edited and sound designed by Andy Harris, and our art is by Dylan Vanderberg. If you want to confess to your own bombing moments or give us a shout out, go rate us 5 stars and drop a review on your podcast app of choice. Write about your own stories of bombing at life. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive bonus content with every episode and listen to all my episodes ad-free. Bye-bye!
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.